T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
The plan is for us to go to Vegas. We're all bringing wives, which has its own degree of lameness attached to it, on a work trip to Vegas. And then Shane is solo at the beginning of the trip. And by the end of the trip, we're hopeful that he won't be.
A lot of strippers there, Jeff.
Are you allowed to go to strip clubs by yourself?
Of course.
Yeah? They're kind of weird, though, right? If I walked into Spearmint Rhino by myself.
Not in Vegas.
If I could bring home a stripper.
Ain't it hypocritical that so many nuns also work part-time as strippers?
Well.
To Chicago?
To Chicago.
To see if any of those Vegas strippers want to relocate.
You really are selling yourself there.
Sometimes I'm walking with my daughter, I'm talking to my daughter, I'm looking at her, I'm pushing her and stroller, and sometimes I pick up and I just stare at her, and I realize my only job in life is to keep her off the pole.
And of all of the men who come through here with all of the jobs and all of the status and all of the money, it's going to be Shane's meat. It's going to be the Instagram account that gets her to relocate and rethink her life choices.
Get her into Rosemary.
Good. It's a good point.
Hey, baby, you ever been to Rosemary?
Wow. That must have been some wedding. It's not too often that you see the bride jump out of her own cake.
Let's just put it this way. They've seen worse. You would not be the first person solo going into the strip club.
I don't think I want to.
Well, after you have all of those margaritas at the pool, you'll be feeling a very different tune.
Well, this might be a first. A 32-year-old Houston man files suit against a stripper.
Yeah, he says he loaned the dancer money and he wants it back.
I don't believe in loans because I don't want to pay anybody back. I've given him gifts too. You know, I mean, how do I get my booty and boobs back?
Still, both sides say they've learned a lesson. Robert says he's not dating any more strippers.
I'm in love with a stripper.
One, two, three,
and here we go.
Here we go.
Here we go, Jim.
Here we go, Tony.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons from 2 to 6 on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
And yes, Spiegs, in there you heard feeling a different tune. After you have all of those margaritas at the pool, you'll be feeling a very different tune because you'll be wanting to escape us and Bubba.
So now we know that Danny doesn't speak music, or does he?
That's what I'm saying.
Is it on a deeper level that all of us have contemplated that he actually feels tunes?
Yeah,
not
you don't
just
hear Jimmy.
To
I feel it in my bones.
Yeah, I get it.
Deep inside the soul.
Man,
that's where I feel my music.
I had forgotten that
songs.
Local news story about,
it's a good one.
About the dude who got upset with the stripper and wanted to get the money back.
But she had already spent it on implants.
Yeah, and just the way, like, I don't believe in loans because I don't want to pay anybody back.
Yeah.
It's an amazing bit of logic right there.
I mean, ownership or what is it? Possession is 9/10 of the law.
Sure.
Right? So
I don't believe in loans because I don't want to pay anybody back.
That's a great reason not to believe in loans.
It's a good point.
Oh, God. It's incredible.
Yeah. Mm. I can't. I mean, checkmate.
Yes, it's going to be quite a time.
It is.
The way I've been saying it to everybody is the four of us are going on a radio trip. I'm the only one who's bringing his mother-in-law.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It's because somebody had to. It was time that a mother-in-law joined the fray.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I will say you put me in a weird spot. Today I was on the phone with my mom, and she said, I think all of the moms and mother-in-laws should come
Patty
on the trip.
Should be coming to Vegas.
Yeah.
And mother-in-laws in the fray, you want to talk about how to save a life. I'm going to need that after this mother-in-law.
Yeah.
No, you're not.
Yeah.
Bubby's awesome.
Yeah.
You guys are, we're all going to have a blast.
Oh, dude, Patty should be coming.
No, it's okay.
Yeah, she should.
It's okay.
Danny's against it.
Yeah, no, it's fine. I've been to Vegas with my mom a couple times, actually. It's a good time. But on this trip, maybe she could stay home and help watch the grandkids. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying.
I did hear the first segment yesterday and you guys talking about Bubby, and I have been giggling pretty frequently to the idea of her getting her stories up on the big screen.
That's a funny concept.
At Stadium Swim.
That's a funny concept.
Like, there she is with the Young and the Restless. Like, could we just do like 1/8 of the screen for Young and the Restless?
Yeah, it doesn't need to be Michigan State, K-State in the Sweet 16, sure. But maybe just put my stories up there. It's fantastic. It's a really, really good concept. Why did Tom Thayer say there's a lot of strippers there to Jeff Joniak? Why did that?
There's no way to know.
Okay, we don't have any context.
Stripping the ball, you know.
A lot of strippers.
Oh, people stripping the ball. Ball!
Okay.
Ball!
All right.
He's always looking to scream ball.
Yeah, that's good.
He's always ready to do it.
I like to think Tom Thayer was talking about polecats.
I wasn't sure. It worked so beautifully in the open. I just wasn't sure what the context of that could have possibly been. That is spectacular on a number of levels. The Bulls, I talked about it yesterday.
No, we don't have to start that already.
Do we not?
Go ahead. I'm
Tanny
sorry.
Pulls out his phone. You recoil and
take my headphones off.
Texting the wife. Oh, he's doing Bulls again.
I'm sorry.
The Bulls.
Hey, man.
We're just having fun.
Yeah, Patrick, he didn't want them to win, and now they're winning, and he's happy.
Oh, yeah, no, he's not really happy.
I'm confused.
He's trying. Odie's so stuck on that narrative, by the way.
Oh, dude.
Tanny's wife, Odie, is stuck on the narrative that you're now happy the Bulls are winning.
It's the biggest problem in her world.
No, Danny's trying to find like his logical place to be where he enjoys the games, but he knows it's all fruitless. And he doesn't want to admit that them having a cipher for Lonzo Ball in Patrick Beverly is actually showing them something. Get ready for Arturis Karnishevist to feel emboldened in his thought process as he tells everybody, you saw what happened when we had a physical point guard helping Billy Donovan do his work and helping to organize the offense. You saw what happened. Because we're seeing what's happening here. They're 8-4 in their last 12, and they just beat the Sixers on the road.
Okay, so what are we seeing? Because those are the results. But what are we seeing?
We're seeing Zach LaVine with less responsibility, freed up to just be the efficient scorer he is.
Yes.
Because DeMar DeRozan is still here, we're seeing Zach not have as many opportunities late in the games, which is probably a good thing because sometimes he turns it over and makes very odd decisions late in games. And DeMar is still that guy for the key possessions. But we're seeing a veteran in Beverly dictate tempo, dictate which play they're going to run, who's going to get it. It is less chaotic offensively, and there is a level of effort defensively that I think he is at least partly responsible for. Like that accountability that Billy hasn't been making happen, Pat Beverly is making happen.
I think that there is some truth to all of that. And Zach is healthier and playing better and maybe freer and empowered, right? Pat Beverly saying, hey, man, just put the ball in the basket.
Just do your thing.
Don't pass. Just put the ball in the basket. Now, that's obviously extreme. I think and DeMar shooting more threes, Pat Beverly being coach on floor, bad cop, accountability guy.
IO less time.
Less time. I think all of that makes sense. But so I'm watching that game last night, and I'm like, oh, this game was to double overtime. The Bulls shoot 21% from three and win and beat Joel Embiid, who they've never beaten before. But Embiid was in foul trouble for a huge percentage of like the end of that game and obviously the overtimes and eventually fouls out. Like it didn't feel representative of something that like if they played the Sixers in a 7-game series – that they would actually be competitive with them in the most meaningful of games. And I don't know, I genuinely don't know if I'm being a hater here because I saw Cowley on Twitter say, he's like, I don't think this is going to change things going forward, but he should really consider bringing back Pat Beverly. What are they accomplishing by getting into the play-in, maybe making the playoffs, losing presumably in the first round, but finishing the season strong. Would it really embolden you if you were in charge of it all? Would it embolden you?
That's not the same question. You can't shift the question. Is it going to embolden him?
It's not Parkinson Karnishevis. I'm genuinely curious. Like what you
Karnishevis and Parkinson was a different
show. It's a totally different show. I'm genuinely curious. Like, what am I supposed to do with? Man, this guy might have been right that they were just a tough, accountable, culture-setting point guard and some Zach LaVine health away from being competitive with the best teams in the East again. So what would you do with that information, given that they'll all just be a year older, You'll have to throw a new contract at Vooch, they still don't shoot a ton of threes, they still don't make a ton of threes, They still have Lonzo's injury. I still don't think it would be the type of thing that I would triple down with, even though this stretch of basketball is way more positive, constructive, and entertaining than I would have ever thought possible. I'm confused by what I'm watching.
To me, I do not see the full-on chaos and rudderlessness that we felt at the deadline, because there is that point guard profile. There is that person helping them do it, and it has seemed to be as important as they thought. So look, I think it's ridiculous that they waited so long for Lonzo, just kept waiting and waiting and waiting. It's crazy. I think it's ridiculous that Billy couldn't make some of this happen by himself, but he doesn't, because that's not what he does as a coach, and sometimes it's not how the NBA works. But now that you've got the knowledge of seeing this, look, instead of being open to trading anybody and everybody and blow it up and it's going to suck, but you got to go backwards now. Now I look at this and now I don't want to trade Zach. I want to trade DeMar. I want to trade DeMar, and I want Patrick Williams to play next year, and I want them to add whatever 3-and-D pieces they can that will compensate for the weaknesses of Vooch and the weaknesses of Zach. But I do feel like I would, if I were Arturis, give the mix a shot with just two defensively challenged pillars in Vooch and Zach, and not three with Vooch, Zach, and DeMar. Like, I don't think you're going to be able to mitigate all of that the way that they dreamed Lonzo and Caruso would. But I would move on from DeMar and hope that Zach develops in those late season, late game situations. And I would absolutely re-sign Pat Beverly, because their goal was to get to the playoffs. I think they're going to get in the playoffs. And while it's not like, hey, top four in the East that they're going to represent, is it still easier to try and get there from playoff team than it is to strip it all down and hope for lottery luck when you're not getting Wembanyama or anybody this
offseason? Nor do you have your first round pick, right? If it was, because it's, unless it's top four protected. Absolutely. That is true. It is easier to get there from, you know, upper middle class, you know, if that's what you think there. But they're still a below 500 team. Like, it's, and someone, the texter's like, Danny, what do you want from them? I just, when I thought they were going to be good, they've been bad. When I thought they were going to be bad, they've been good. That's what Darnell and I were talking about yesterday when Darnell Mayberry was on the show. And I do wonder how emboldened Arturis is going to be by these results to say, see, I told you so, we're pretty good.
See, that's the thing. That's why I challenged it and said, wait, you're talking about what I would do or what Arturis would do? Because I'm telling you what I would do, but Arturis is 100% going to do that to me, because he gets to feel like, see, I showed you. Just what you're saying. That personal thing of like, see, I showed you. And oh, by the way, it also plays into the Reinsdorfian thing of let's be a playoff team and be viable and be interesting and get some postseason revenue this year and next year.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. Plays to the middle.
I don't think they're I don't think they'll win a first round playoff series. I still think they're an underdog to even make the playoffs, frankly. Because I'm not counting making the play-in is making the playoffs, because based on the gambling market, that's not how it's defined. Like, making the playoffs is getting into a playoff series. I'm not just talking about an 83rd game. I know you think that that's what he was saying when he said, do you expect to make the playoffs?
Yes.
Yes. Like, I don't consider being the 9 seed and losing to Atlanta and getting eliminated. I don't consider that making the playoffs. And I really hope that the guy leading the Bulls doesn't consider that making the playoffs. And the next time he speaks, maybe he'll be asked to clarify that. But I think the next time he speaks might be when this whole thing is over. But regardless of the offseason or a semantic argument of the playoffs this year, I am just surprised at my draw to turn the Bulls game on and have any degree of expectations around them. Like, I didn't expect them to get blown out last night. I don't expect them to get blown out tomorrow night. It's an odd thing. That is a low bar. That is damning with faint praise.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't expect them to get blown out anymore.
And it's an indictment on Arturis and Billy, as we've talked about, in terms of what is happening now.
And well, Zach has been great.
Zach is healthier, which is a big deal. Healthier and more confident. And also, everybody's kind of making this little push, you know? Whether they obviously were coasting through games and stretches of games at different points during the year. And partially because of Pat Bev and partially because of calendar, and here they are. They're pushing a little bit, and you're seeing more stuff. You're seeing Pat Williams be more decisive on his decisions to either put up the three or attack the basket when he gets it on the wing. You're seeing DeMar take more threes, make the choice to go ahead and give yourself a chance out there. You're seeing an extra level of effort as they get close and smell it a little bit, which is human but also frustrating.
It is. It's frustrating, but it's a it has made it watchable. And I will be honest, man, after watching so much college basketball over the weekend, even though that was an ugly game last night where the pros weren't making shots, there weren't as many, like, side of the backboard shots. You know what I mean? It was kind of nice. Like, oh, man, they're just having an off shooting night.
Yeah.
Like, it was a close miss. As opposed to whatever the hell that was over the weekend.
I have a sensation every year with the NCAA tournament, which was that by the time we get to the Sweet 16, inevitably, I always feel like, oh, yeah, I should have seen that coming. I know this tournament now. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I absolutely. Oh, Michigan State with you know, Izzo's trademark toughness and that three-guard rotation that they have coming into the fold
Everybody feels
that way after the second.
Everyone becomes a college basketball expert after a couple of games.
Let me do my bracket again.
Yeah, no. It's
give me another shot.
Not how, unless I get to redo all my bets. That is not how it works. But the basketball is just bad. And so
can he let me redo my bracket, the pool that he and I are just in one-on-one?
Oh, that was nice of him.
We did a little reset.
Who's winning?
What are the prizes?
The Bears.
The Bears. Excellent. Will you watch college basketball?
No.
When it is on a 100-foot screen in front of you?
No, Danny. I'll be watching Yasmin.
Right. Okay. That's...
There are a lot of butt cheeks at Circa. I'm going to be eyes on the butt cheeks. No basketball for me.
8
A lot of cheeks to see over there at Circa Stadium Swim.
Including Bubby.
Cheeks.
Really? She's gonna be on the show.
Stop.
No more cheeks jokes about
not
his mother.
Bubba.
No Bubba cheeks.
No Mo cheeks.
Go back to Patty.
Okay, I see how it feels now. Now I get it. Now I get it. Bulls position in 20 minutes. Parkins and Spiegel on the score.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Are you kidding me? Tune in to Twitch.
Afternoons on the score.
We'll do Bulls position in 15 minutes. Talk Bears. And we have Carter Hawkins, Cubs general manager, coming up at 4 o'clock. And Chicago Cubs spring training coverage brought to you by Sloan, the official water efficiency partner of the Chicago Cubs. You're welcome. Standing ovation from Tanny and Shane over there.
They must not really believe that you're capable of some of the things you have to do.
I give them a lot of evidence to support that theory. But I feel like we, for probably a few reasons, maybe out of protest from you because you're not doing play-by-play this spring, but I think mainly because of the WBC, where has things that matter gone? You're supposed to be my guy.
From Cubs Cap and Sox Cam?
Where has things that matter
gone? Nothing
pretty
matters.
Fatalist. Yeah, it's pretty fatalist. Nothing matters. It's all a big nothing.
Couple things.
That's how I feel.
Here's something that may
WBC.
Surprise you.
Okay.
Here's something that may surprise you. When your partner does a segment and like tries to have some fun and invests emotionally and then is constantly ridiculed.
Yeah.
that segment becomes less appetizing to partner.
The ridicule's weighing on you.
Yeah,
the scoffing?
It has an effect, yeah.
The scoffing is on
scoffing
you.
Leaves a mark after a while.
So you're pointing a finger, not That's a thumb.
Is that why categories went away, too?
Yeah. You know, Shane, you've always been very supportive of categories.
Because I win.
Yeah. And because you like it. You see the wisdom in it.
I know.
Yeah, someday we'll do a couple things. But yeah, so there's
someday
that.
We'll do a couple things. Jesus.
So there is that.
Yeah, okay.
That's part of it.
All right, so it's gone because of me. Got it.
Yeah, right. But here's the other thing. No, and also, I did a bad job at it a couple of times last year, so then I started beating myself up about it. I thought maybe you guys were right. You know what I mean?
Oh, no. Yeah,
so
good.
I went.
I'm glad that came through.
Yeah, beat him while he's down.
I'm glad you noticed.
Yeah.
As always, being vulnerable, rewarded right here in our mix. Here's the other thing.
Do better.
You know, it's funny. You talk about the WBC as a thing to talk about, but I loved you openly admitting in the first segment, I'm not watching.
I'm not.
And I was like, I am. I'm watching. I'm invested. I'm reading. I'm like, I'm actually paying much less attention to the minutiae of Cubs camp and Sox camp this year because I am fascinated by the minutiae of the World Baseball Classic and some of the bigger issues of the World Baseball Classic and just watching those games and watching those condensed games if I ever miss one and making sure to read everything and get the context of it. I think it's been incredible baseball theater.
Yeah, the big picture ramifications for baseball of the World Baseball Classic interest me a lot. I don't have a tremendous rooting interest in Team USA or any team that I gambled on that was eliminated. So I personally am not. But, I mean, it's going great.
And there's also
it's a huge success.
And option three or item three as to why we haven't done things that matter too much is that some of these rosters are pretty set. There's not a lot of questions that are going on. Like, we could talk about Christopher Morel probably starting at AAA and Nick Madrigal being given a chance to play some third base from the get-go if we want. Things like that.
Well, it's coming soon. Like opening day is coming soon.
Oh, yes.
And the WBC has overshadowed it. And I read everything that James Fegan and Sahadev Sharma write. I'm trying to follow it all to be as prepared as possible for when we are fully in the grind of 162.
That's nice that you're doing your job.
But
he's trying this year when it comes
to baseball. No. You just said you're not following the minutiae as closely because of the WBC.
You're saying Japan, Mexico didn't get any screen time for you last night, even after it was blowing up on social media how good of a game that was?
People were losing their minds over the quality of that game.
It was insane.
I'm sure it was. I
felt like I was watching Game 7 times 10 last night.
It had that. Every night feels it's Game 163. Every night is the blackout game. And that's the way they're all feeling it because is there any more random sport to have a single out tournament in than baseball? Hockey, well, I suppose.
That would be, that'd be crazy.
Learned yesterday the KHL. Single elimination.
So we talked about where we could inject single elimination because Tanny or Shane, you said the same thing. You were like, you don't care at all about college basketball, even though this is like the best of it and the randomness and the stakes are high and it's single elimination.
I just don't believe there's a such thing as the best of college basketball. The product is not good.
I understand.
You know, that's like if it were a single elimination NBA tournament with professionals, then I'm locked in. But the quality is just so damn bad.
Fair enough, but so. There's only so much like screen time and stuff that we all can consume in a given day, week, or month.
And there's only so much radio content that we can do, and we've done more WBC than Cubs and Sox.
Way more.
Without a doubt.
And but so now it's here. And so I just wanted to like throw something at you from like one of our differences about going into this Cubs thing is like I believe in the front office and the vision like long term, but for this particular team. You and I differ a bit on like the floor and the worst case scenario. And part of it for me has been where are like the high ceiling guys? Like where are the high upside guys? Where is the guy who in theory could hit 40 home runs or have a top five MVP finish or have a top five Cy Young finish or start an all-star game or something, right? Like that's what I'm lacking with this Cubs team.
Which is fascinating because they did need to go get a superstar, and they didn't really go get a superstar.
No, they got Dansby Swanson is
very good player, great leader, solid dude.
Who I like the signing, right? I mean, 52 homers the last 2 years, plays every day, gold glove, premium position, but like it's a premium position for half the teams in the sport that have a great shortstop. And so I've been struggling with like where's the star power on the team? And then Suzuki got hurt or whatever. all the reports on Hayden Wesneski are that this guy might be like the five starter in name because of seniority and he's accelerating and youth and all of that. But it sounds like he could be a front end starter in terms of stuff and swinging like sooner than later. Like that's the type of thing that I think the Cubs need an injection of like, who's the guy who, if it clicks and he absolutely hits his peak, you know, I mean, I guess you could argue Bellinger, but he's already been an MVP and it's a 1 year deal.
No,
and, all that.
And it being a pitcher would feel really exciting if he's really swing and miss with consistency with that sweeper slider and the nasty fastball.
The reports that I've read on Wesneski have helped inject, and the fact that he's by all accounts going to be there from opening day.
Yeah, because he had a tough start the other day, and the way that David Ross talked about it was indicative of a guy who is going to make this team.
That it's not going to matter because he's been so good.
Well, and not only that, that he's taking the lessons from it, which frankly he's been doing all camp. Like he had an incredible start against the Dodgers about 10 days ago, I believe it was, and afterwards he came out and he was like, yeah, you know, the results are one thing, but like I was out there working on some stuff, and I'm happy with the stuff that we were working on. Like he's
the classic spring answer,
right? But whether it's good or bad, and that's the thing. So if he's a guy who gets that part of it, and apparently he is, remember he's somebody that Daniel Moskos, the assistant pitching coach, has known for years. And as soon as Moskos got here, they said, "Hey, who should there be people? Who are some of the young pitchers in the Yankees system we should be looking at?" He's like, "Well, let's start with Hayden Wesneski."
Yeah.
Said, "Oh, okay." So, and that informed Carter Hawkins. And then he said when he realized they were going to trade Scott Efros last year, Moskos said, "If he goes to the Yankees, let's get Wesneski. Come on." Like he was up there in his ears. So they know the guy and they like the guy. And the stuff is very potentially high end. Absolutely. That deserves your excitement.
Yeah. And to me, that's what the Cubs need. Whether the organization, yes, but also the fan base. It's a team. We're coming off an era of Cubs baseball with superstars, man.
Well, that's why people are going to feel desirous of Pete Crow Armstrong. You're not going to get that. I am desirous of Matt Mervis. I'm not going to get that.
Yeah.
At the start here, he's definitely going to be in the minors. But like, there's a guy who I think does have the potential to come up and be your homegrown power hitter, and you're like, holy hell, look at that.
That'd be great.
Which would be great, and is going to, at some point, be very important.
Yeah, and so that has been the thing for Buzz that has been like, because gave out hundreds of millions of dollars worth of contracts, upgraded the team, raised the floor, pitching and defense, pitching to contact, all of that stuff like makes fundamental sense in line with the rule changes, and they finished the season strong last year and playing an aesthetically pleasing brand of baseball. But I'm like, where's the dude that's going to hit 40 home runs or going to have 190 innings with 215 strikeouts?
Oh, God.
But I mean, there's like seven or eight pitchers in baseball that are like 180 inning guys now, but those are the best. Like, where are there dudes that can start all-star teams? That's what I'm asking.
Yep.
Any position on the field, where are those guys? And maybe Wesneski is that guy, not this year, but like sooner than later.
I think it's possible that Justin Steele is that guy. It's possible. So you got those two. If you're looking for that guy, that possibility, that's what you got on the pitching front.
All right.
And unfortunately, no Suzuki, but
that hurts.
Yes. Trey Mancini, 30 homers. Do anything for you?
Yeah.
Does that help you?
That would be great. That would be fantastic. We've talked so much about the Bears trade from the Bears perspective. It's worth talking about it from the other perspective because it informs why DJ Moore is a Bear. It's the subject of Poll's position next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And
Watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.